John chapter 1, verse 22, we'll start there with the reading. John chapter 1, verse 22. Very simple thought, but one I think we need to hear. Cal Ray, I know he's mentioned it quite a bit, especially during the before elections, but he mentioned it last Sunday, I believe, and it just stuck on my heart. He said, when you're casting your ballot, casting your vote, don't vote for an elephant, don't vote for the donkey, but vote for the lamb, right? And so thankful for that instruction, and we should do that. But that hasn't left me since he said that, so I just got to preach what's on my heart today. John chapter 1, verse 22, then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? This is John the Baptist speaking. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And here's my text for tonight. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He it is. Who was he referring to when he said, it is? He was referring to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, whatever the condition of the world, whatever current state that you're in your life, we always have the possibility and always the opportunity that things are going to get better. Now, I could stand up here and we do it, sometimes we do it and don't really mean to, but we can paint a pessimistic picture of how things are going. And really, we have enough facts and we have enough information to just preach a message that could just make us all sad and make us all discouraged because there's a lot of bad things happening. We all know that. Can everybody agree to that? Things are bad. We all know that. I don't have to preach you a message about that. But what I want to preach tonight is no matter how bad things are getting, and we know what the world is coming to, we say, I don't know what the world is coming to. Oh, I know what the world's coming to. It's going nothing but to sin and to hell. But I'm so thankful I also know he it is that has come into the world. And because he has come into the world, because the Lamb of God has come into the world, hallelujah, it can get as bad as it wants to get. But thank God there's always a possibility. Things are going to get better. Why? Because he it is. He is the Lamb of God. That's why things are going to get better. Warren Wiersbe said of this verse that this verse is the message of the Bible. Verse 29. He said that's the message of the Bible. Genesis 22 asks the question, where is the Lamb? And John answered the question in chapter 1, verse 29. He said he is the Lamb of God. The Old Testament asked and looked forward to the Lamb. But thank God when Jesus stepped on the shores that day, John looked at him and said, here's the one I'm talking about. He it is. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was a lamb that God provided. And when you begin to think about all that God has provided us, he's provided us health. He's provided us strength. He's provided us a sound mind. He's provided our means. He's provided goods. He's provided protection. He's given us life. He's given us a livelihood. But the greatest thing he ever gave us was the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. He it is. Aren't you thankful tonight for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? This lamb that John spoke about fulfilled God's plan for salvation. And the great question we have to ask ourselves is how in the world can we turn from sin and enter into a life of holiness and enter into a life that God wants us to have? I'll tell you how. The answer is simply this. He it is. He's the one that can take our sin wretched soul. He's the one that can take our hell bound soul. He's the one that can take all of our past, our uncleanness, our unrighteousness, and one drop of his precious blood can turn us around and give us brand new life. He it is. He's the one. He's the Lamb of God. Very quickly, what kind of a lamb is he? Number one, he's a lamb of prominence. He's a lamb of prominence. This world has had its fair share of people who have given us wonderful things and provided us so many things, and we can look to them as people of prominence. But there is no one that has ever lived on the face of this earth like he it is. There's no one that has ever walked the dusty trails of this life except for Jesus Christ. No one better. There is no one greater. In fact, the Bible tells us there is no one else beside him. No one like him. And aren't you glad the one that created this world, aren't you glad he thought enough of us to walk the same trails we walk and die for our sins? Thank God, nobody like Jesus. Nobody like the Lamb. Think about it. The birth of this Lamb accounted for the recalculation of history and time. Some people won't refer to it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the day he was born changed the way people looked at time. Because BC was before Christ and AD was Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. They looked at the birth of Christ or the birth of our Lamb as a moment in time that changed history. Think about that, folks. No one else when they were born changed history. No one else when they were born, the world stopped and praised him. No one else did it. No, it was the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Hallelujah. He's a Lamb of prominence. Nobody talked like him. Nobody walked like that Lamb. Nobody loved like him. Nobody lifted like him. Nobody blessed like him. Nobody made a way like him. Nobody gave grace like him. Nobody gives mercy like him. He's in a class all by himself. Thank God. He's the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a good place to shout, you just missed it. Hallelujah. He was prophesied by Abraham. He was legalized by Moses. He was institutionalized by David. He was materialized by Mary. And he was realized by all believers. He it is. He is the Lamb of God. Nobody can live up to his prominence. And listen, if you still got a question, if there's still a doubt in your mind, who can take my sins away? Is there anybody greater? Let me answer that question. John said it best. He it is. He it is. He's the Lamb of God. No one else can we turn to take our sin away. He's a Lamb of prominence. Secondly, and I'm quick tonight, but this is all the Lord gave me for tonight. He's not only a Lamb of prominence, but he's a Lamb of pity. You say, what do you mean pity? He said in verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, and here's the pity, which taketh away the sin. He's a Lamb that gives us mercy and gives us pity. Hallelujah. Before Jesus came, the world was looking for a Messiah to fit into their mold and into their expectation. But John said, there's one coming. He's around you, but you can't even see him. He's walking right among you, but you don't even know who he is. If you would just look at him through spiritual eyes, you'd understand he's the one you're looking for. He's the one the prophets talked about. He's the one Isaiah and Elijah and Moses, the prophets of all, they're the one. He's the one that they talked about. Just look and you'll see him. And he'll give mercy. John said he is the Lamb of God and he is here. But see, the Old Testament, the ones that were living under the law, the Old Testament taught us how they used lambs in order for the sacrifice of sin. How many of you have ever used a layaway before? Oh, come on, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have, I have. Whenever I worked for my dad at the pharmacy, he had a layaway program there, and we always, usually around Christmas, we had one room just all storage of just Christmas stuff, and people would get stuff for layaway. And you know how layaway works, right? You get an item, or maybe a series of items, and you don't have enough money, but you don't want to get credit for it. You don't want to put it on your credit card. So what you do is you put it away, and then every so often you make payments on it until finally you make the last payment, and then you can receive that payment has been redeemed, or the price has been paid for, and you can receive what's already been paid for. So see, that was the Old Testament's way of salvation. It was a layaway plan. Every year, they brought a lamb or a turtle dove or an oxen or whatever it was. Everybody had a sacrifice. But every year, they brought something for layaway. It was just enough. It was the payment they needed to make. Because, you know, if by layaway, you know, Walmart and other stores, Kmart especially, if you miss a payment, what are they going to do? They're going to put it back on the shelf. But see, what they would do, they would come every year and they would satisfy God. They would satisfy the payment on that salvation plan by sacrificing what they need. And that lamb was sacrificial. That turtle dove was sacrificial. That oxen was sacrificial. But it only paid it for a year until Jesus walked those shores that day. And when John said, "He it is. Here's the lamb of all lambs. Here's the lamb to make the one final sacrifice." And hallelujah, he paid redemption's price on the cross of Calvary. He gave us mercy. And John said, here's what he's going to do. He's the Lamb of God. But more than that, he's going to take away the sin of the world. You all know I love word study. The word take away in the Greek is A-I-R-O. It means to take upon oneself and carry what has been raised up or to bear. So it's not like a kid taking away a toy from their brother or sister. That's not what it means. What it means is he literally takes our burden and puts it upon himself and carries it away. That's what John said he would do. And what was he carrying away? He said he would take away what? The sin of the world. Now notice, and I've quoted it wrong. I'm sure others have too. I guess we just do it out of habit. But sometimes we say take away the sins of the world. That's not what it says. It says take away the sin of the world. It doesn't mean there was just one sin ever committed. But that word sin in that Greek word, in that context, means an aggregate of sins. It means the total number of sins that have ever been committed, are being committed right now, or will ever be committed. John said, he it is. He's the one that's going to come and he's going to carry away all the sins that ever will be or ever have been committed. Aren't you thankful for the Lamb of God? No other lamb could do that. Hallelujah. Read a preacher this week that said this: the blood fell on all sides of the cross. It fell on the behind the cross to cover all the sins that had been committed. It fell on the sides of the cross to take care of all the sins that were around Jesus. But it fell in front of the cross. That way it took care of all the sins that would ever be committed. That's how powerful the blood of Christ is. And one drop of it from the precious Lamb of God is enough to take care of all the sin that's ever been committed. Aren't you glad tonight that your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb of God? Amen. He it is. He showed us mercy. He's not only showed us mercy, but he showed us mercy publicly, passionately, powerfully, and personally. Thank God he has taken our sin away. He's a lamb of pity. He's a lamb of prominence. But I want you to notice this finally. He's a lamb of people. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He it is. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin," and here it is, "of the world." Of the world. When he said the world, I know this is simple, and you all know this, but just think about it for a second. Think about it like you've never heard it before. When he said the world, that included you. It just stopped me in my tracks thinking about that. I'm just nobody. I'm nobody from a little speck on the road on State Route 73 in a little town called McDermott. I don't even live in town, but they got to put a name on where I live. Don't even live in McDermott, but I got a McDermott address. Some of you feel that way. My family from Otway. My dad, his family down in Ashley Corner. And he said, I've always was from a place with no name. There was a little place he lived that didn't have a name. That's where I feel like I'm from. I feel like I'm nobody. But yet Jesus, John said, he it is. He's the one that's come to take away the sin of the world. And when he said the world, that included me. Wow. Wow. 7 billion people. He included them. When he said the world, he included the Jew. He included the Gentile. He included every man, every woman. He included the tall, the short, the rich and the poor, the PhD, the MD, those that don't have a suffix after their name, the ones that graduated from college, the ones that never graduated high school. He included you. He included the high class, the middle class, the low class, the world. He included you. The Lamb of God took on all flesh. The Lamb of God took on flesh. And he lived like you and I. But he was still God at the same time. That's something we'll never be able to comprehend. But I think it's not irony, but it's just God. How we are referred to or likened unto sheep in the Word of God. Yet it took a lamb to come and take our sins away. The spotless lamb, the perfect lamb, the one that came without sin. The only one that I ever knew of, the only shepherd ever to become a lamb. And John said, he it is. The one who died for you. The one whose blood that was shed on Calvary to take away your sins away. The one that lived just like we lived. And the Bible says he was on all points tempted, but yet without sin. When he said he was the Lamb that took away the sin of the world, by him coming as a lamb, he knows exactly what you are going through. He knows exactly what you are facing. You cannot say, no one knows what I'm going through. You cannot say that tonight. There may not be anybody in these four walls that knows what you're going through, but Jesus knows. The Lamb knows what you've been through and what you're going through. But thankfully, he knows what to do with what you're going through because he is the Lamb of God. He loves you tonight. And he it is. He it is. And he can be your lamb. He's a lamb of prominence. He's a lamb of pity. But he's a lamb of people. John said this is the last lamb we'll ever need. And I'm thankful he came, aren't you?